Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, presented by your local Hyundai dealers. This is Chicago's number one and most listened to sports station. 670 The Score is Chicago Sports. Chicago Sports is The Score. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. And Odyssey Station. The Score! And now it's time for Score Overnights with Mark Grody.
This is probably going to be a good fastball, two-seamer away. This would be a great ball for Ian. Try to drive to left center field.
He hits one in the air to left. Going back is Pham. It's over his head. That ball's off the wall. A run is in. Suzuki racing around third, heading home. The relay will not be made. Two-run double. Opposite field drive for Ian Happ. I guess he did have the green
light. Here comes the payoff pitch from Hendricks. Driven in the air. Deep right field. Trouble and a home run. Joey Votto with a home run to right center, and the Reds are on the board. It's now a 2-1 Cubs.
Now the 2-1.
Pulled on the ground, fair, inside first, all the way into the right field corner. This is probably going to drive in two. Pham rounding third and coming in. Votto going to third, the throw across the diamond, not in time. Two-run triple, Joey Votto. Reds lead 4-2.
Strickland's 25th pitch coming up, and here it is.
A swing and a miss, strike three. He got him on a sharp breaking ball, and the ball game is over. The Reds win it by a score of 4-3.
Well, Fister into left field, down for a base hit. Pollock's up with it. His throw to the plate is not in time, and the Red Sox have a 1-0 lead here in the first. All of this with two outs. Jake lights it up. Seven pitches, and now Bogarts in the air, right field side. Harrison is out. Vaughn is in. Andrew Vaughn makes the catch.
What in the world is Josh Harrison doing anywhere near him? Anyway, the game ends.
Yes, it does. Turn out the lights. 3-1 White Sox.
So much for that. And this is Score Overnight.
Welcome into Score Overnight. I'm Mark Grody, and I am just realizing that in listening to the intro that Sean Sears just put together with highlights of the Cubs and their 4-3 loss to the Reds last night, which you heard right here on 670 The Score. You also heard NBC Sports Chicago and the White Sox with a 3-1 win over the Red Sox, and then hearing Stone at the very end of that White Sox win, you know, which got sort of dramatic towards the end, or at least it felt that way, felt like the game could turn. And you have a near collision on the field between a couple of White Sox players, between Andrew Vaughn and the what is Josh Harrison doing in essentially right field to take and what should be and was Andrew Vaughn's baseball. But it was just so funny because the win felt great for the White Sox. Like, it's a good win and an intense game and a harsh finish. Well, a good finish, but it felt clunky because Liam Hendricks had walked a couple, and you're like, oh boy, here we go. Is it going to be the Cleveland game? Is it going to be another Josh Naylor night here for Liam Hendricks and the White Sox pen? And no, it wasn't. The final out was recorded, but Josh Harrison was way too far out there, so it became this almost juxtaposition between broadcasters. Jason Benetti thrilled that the White Sox won, and so was Stone, but Stone, his being perplexed was a little more dominant in that case. The being perplexed that the game almost ended, well, maybe didn't end, was about to have a collision and where the baseball could have dropped, and who knew. But I noticed that in watching the game, that Stone's disappointment and seemingly Jason just wanting to, let's say, hey, it's a win, let's get the hell out of here, that kind of thing. So yeah, I did not expect that to be the opening lines here on Score Overnight, but there it is. It is the magic of Score Overnight. And it is great to be here with you. I am indeed Mark Grody. My voice is a little bit crusty, little bit, because I've got a little bit of a cold, but I feel great. I feel fine. None of that stuff. So I get to be here with you guys for the next 5 hours on Score Overnight. And we are officially open for your business at 312-644-6767. That is the phone number, and that is also the text line. If you would like to participate in the show, whether by phone or by text message, it is, as it is in most cases in life, it is the same number. So we're just like one big cell phone here at the Score. 312-644-6767. That is the number. The man to whom you will speak if you call, and hopefully you will be Sean Sears, and he will, as he normally does, promptly put you on the air, unless there's something about you that sounds suspicious. If something is not quite right with you, then Sean may ask more than one question in that regard. The Sears is on it. Hey, Sean, doesn't it feel like it's been like weeks since you and I did a show together, one where you were producing?
I was just thinking that, right?
Yeah, man. Like, I don't know. I think the last time that we did a show together, was it the Hit and Run? Was it Mother's Day?
Oh, yeah. It was. I think it was. Yeah, I was thinking, I was trying to think, because I was going to put an open together for you today, but I was like, man, I think the last thing I remember talking to you about was the Frank Schwindel, like, almost grand slam from, like, 2 weeks ago.
That's so funny. I grabbed a notebook that I think I used to put my scribblings in one of the last times I hosted. I don't think that this was also during them, but this is the way, like, my brain becomes a blob of baseball. Once you get past, like, you know, we're right where we are, past the 40-game mark, it's hard to remember individual games, where they were at that time, the season. It almost, like, the minutia gets away from you. So with all of that said, what I have scribbled down is Christian Yelich cycle in Cincinnati. Reds win the game over the Brewers 14-11. That wasn't like the last time we worked together, though. Was it around then?
I don't think so, because that was, I think,
felt like longer ago.
Yeah,
right?
I feel like that was a little bit longer. I was laughing though when I was watching the Sox for a little bit today and saw Rich Hill, who was no hitting the White Sox for four innings.
Oh, how about that? Yeah. 42, man.
God, and we just wrote him off. Like, nah, Rich Hill's done. Like, he's not playing.
I know we did, and we talked about him and went down like a Rich Hill wormhole. But yeah, there he was. We were officially, you know, after four innings, you going, okay, I mean, we're watching, Rich, we're watching. And I don't know how closely you were watching, Sean, but in the Sox fifth inning, it's 1-0 Boston. The White Sox have zero hits. And good old Steve Stone, Nostradamus himself, he's been known in his time with the Cubs and the White Sox and baseball, wherever he may have been broadcasting, known to get a thing or two right and predict things and call things. And he did say this no-hitter is over. Jose Abreu is going to get a base hit. He gets a double. So Stoney gets to be right. And I get it. Like, the chances are Rich Hill's going to give up a hit probably soon. It's not going to be a no hitter. So it actually, you know, makes a little sense that Stone would predict that there would be a hit, but the man has a track record. So the credibility is there. if that was me doing that, then you'd have to be like, Grody, of course he's going to get a hit. He hasn't given up a hit. It's Jose Abreu. Then there you go. There's your double. But so there's your first hit of the game for the White Sox against Rich Hill. They're still trailing by one. Then two end up on base against Rich Hill in that inning. And then Jake, how is your burger? Jake Burger with a three-run monster off of Rich Hill in that fifth inning to completely change the game 3-1. And it felt like very much so both teams were grinding last night. You could feel it watching it. And Rich Hill gives up this 3-run homer on an 0-2 pitch. And here's the punchline. If you needed more punchlines.
I'm sitting on the edge of my seat here, man.
You should be. Here it is, Sean. The punchline is 0-2 slider to Jake Burger. Unless I heard this incorrectly on the telecast, 67 miles per hour. 67 miles per hour is what the pitch was.
That was almost nice.
That old man Rich Hill threw. And sometimes you see 67. Or sometimes you don't. You know, that's the one where you get fooled. But if you know, if you're feeling it, like, there's Jake Burger. He saw 67 out of his hands, essentially.
Yeah.
He saw that ball was moving like the bullet going in slow motion. It's coming fast, but he's seeing it slowly.
Yeah. That's funny. You said 67. It made me think of, do you remember when, I think it was Tommy La Stella? Was he like the first of the Cubs position players to pitch in a game? I think maybe in like 2017, 2018. But I remember him throwing something. He was pitching for some reason and he hit like, I think it was like 62 on the radar gun. And they just stopped showing it in the stands because everyone was like, what is going on?
Right. It's like when you go to the carnival and you think you're the one who can throw. Oh, check me out, man. And I'm like, it's like 54.
Yeah.
Whoa,
yeah.
Whoa.
No, man, I could throw. I used to be able to throw 80, man, back in high school.
Dude, that's other people. That's everybody, though. Every man who has played any organized sport, when they go to the fair and there's one of those, or they have them at ballparks. Don't the White Sox have something like that?
They
like
do, yeah. It's like,
check your MPH, right? Yeah. You step up there and you're like, I'm the one who still looks like he plays. Oh, check me out. Watch the way I throw. Look at my windup. Look at the step back. Look at the throw. All that stuff. 61 miles per hour. Nice job.
The form was perfection, though.
Right. With perfection and expertise, a story or two. Here's the windup in the pitch. 62. Nice job, kid. Nice job. Yeah. So that's Rich Hill last night as he threw 67 miles per hour. And I guess if you're Rich Hill, you've got some, obviously you're still a major league pitcher, so you got something going on. You're doing something. I mean, the 12-6 curveball still looks good from time to time, and the off speed stuff. Oh yes, when you talk about a 42-year-old, you just say off speed stuff. So that all exists, but he is particularly. Like, if it goes bad, it's going to go bad for Rich Hill. Like, he's at that point where there's this spontaneous moment of needs to retire, which hasn't occurred yet, but he's fully on warning right now. Like, it could happen in any game. Or he can just continue to pitch relatively well, which he's done. But if it goes, it's going to go fast. That's all I'm saying.
He's officially on retirement watch here.
Yeah. We're officially on it. Does he make it? let's see, is with the Red Sox, who knows what direction that team is going? They're kind of like the White Sox, right? I mean, they just had a 6-game winning streak end, but and they whomped the White Sox 2 nights ago, 16-3. But they are like the White Sox. Sox had what? Was it an 8-game? Where's a 6-game? Oh, they also had a 6-game winning streak and an 8-game losing streak.
I think they had an 8-game losing streak too, right before that 6-gamer.
Right. And the Red Sox, I don't know what their biggest losing streak is, but it may as well have been 8. I mean, they've virtually very similar records and paths so far this season, except the Red Sox seemed like they were really putting it together until yesterday. But yeah, the Red Sox remind me of the White Sox in many ways this year. Just not exact. Neither has consistently accelerated. And this game tonight for the White Sox, it was a win, a 3-1 win, a nice rebound. I would say a predictable rebound. I mean, when you lose one day 16-3. Usually the next day, you baseball fans know this, things are going to be completely different the next day. It truly does wipe away the previous day, and the four runs get scored in the entire game. And there was some drama to this game because an injury to tell you about, too, that could be consequential. But some of the drama, for example, in the Red Sox seventh inning, it's 3-1 White Sox, and again an inning that Aaron Bummer started, but Tony La Russa put the ball in the hands of Kendall Graveman to finish it after Bummer had allowed one man on. Kendall Graveman allowed the bases to be loaded, one walk, and I think another was a hit, but nonetheless it loaded the bases. And now you had this spot, again, White Sox up by 2 in the seventh. Graveman has Alex Verdugo coming to the plate. No slouch, obviously, at the plate. And Kendall Graveman gets him to ground out to second base. Yeah, that was a sweaty spot. But Kendall Graveman got in a little trouble. But, like, good relievers do, a decent amount of time. Get themselves into trouble, get themselves out of trouble. So there was that. And then it was the eighth inning, Boston's eighth. It's 3-1 White Sox. Joe Kelly struck out 2. And then, oh no, Joe Kelly, White Sox reliever, starts to touch the back of his leg. Hamstring. He leaves the game. And that's what it is, hamstring tightness for Joe Kelly. Leaves the game. Liam Hendricks comes in for, in theory, the four-out save. Comes in and is able to get the final out of the inning to preserve, at that time, a 3-1 lead over the Red Sox. And then it got really dramatic in the Boston ninth. It's 3-1 White Sox. However, Liam Hendricks, who likes a little drama himself every once in a while, walked a couple with 2 outs, and then the Xander Bogaerts flyout, the one which was played on the intro, that cracked me up because Josh Harrison went a little bit too far into right field and just about messed up the final play and nearly had a collision with Andrew Vaughn. It needed to be addressed, but the game was over. The White Sox had won, and it felt good that it was just a W. But there was a little bit of, oh, man, we do these ifs in sports, what-if scenarios. And, oh, man, what if Andrew Vaughn and Josh Harrison ran into each other and either or both was injured? Sox win the game, let's just say, but there's the collision. It's, you know what we're talking about, and it goes deep because it's not just that game, whatever it ends up doing to that game, but it is a deeper issue with constant flaws defensively for the White Sox and in this organization for a while now. And we've seen so much of it in particular, at least magnified in the last 3 years, because the Sox have been good. But there's this chronic issue with the White Sox with defense. And, you know, making costly errors in games and costly errors for the health of players. So it's like a real issue. So when that happens, or almost happens, as it did at the end of this game, you have to take note. You have to, like, mark another one down and be like, yeah, this is what the White Sox do. They make extraordinary errors at times, you know, just ones where you're like, what? Like Stone said at the end, what are you doing? You know, what do you get on out of there? So that's the White Sox. They win. They beat the Red Sox 3-1. They're a game over 500, 22-21. Coming up, your calls, 312-644-6767. We'll get more into the Cubs side of the world because there was actually some – Joey Votto was really good at the plate. He was also very dramatic tonight. There was a feud happening again between the Reds and the Cubs that we must discuss. There was an ejection in the game, so there's stuff happened in the Cubs game. So we'll talk about the Cubs. I got a bunch of Bears I want to get into. I was at the OTA the other day. NBA Eastern Conference Finals tonight. Maybe we will even touch on that because it's getting so real. I'm Mark Rohde. It's Score Overnight on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
You're listening to the show Les Grobstein perfected, and we hope not to ruin it. Score Overnights.
Here's the 0-2. VR runs the pitch, looped into shallow right center field. And that is going to be a base hit. VR goes all the way to third. The throw goes to second. A run scores. It's a single for Nico Horner. It's now a 4-3 ball game.
I really thought the Cubs were going to end up winning that game. It just felt like that. Like, just because the Reds are abominably bad. They're a 13-win team. And that highlight, which you heard from Pat Hughes, right here on the Score last night, part of a Reds 4-3 win over the Cubs, that felt like the one that was going to do it. Like, that makes it a 4-3 game. And then they had runners on the corners, but Christopher Morel strikes out with runners on the corners, and the game is over. The Cubs fall to the Reds again by a final score of 4-3. And by the way, BTW, the Cubs and Reds game today, Thursday, if you'd like, is an early one, 11:35 here on the Score. So that means the pregame show starts at 11. So it's going to be one of those weird feeling games, getaway day for the Cubs before they get a weird day off on Friday and then meet up with the White Sox on Saturday. Where's this? It's Southside this time, right? Yeah, Southside. I couldn't remember where the first three games were, and they were indeed at Wrigley Field. But yeah, so 11:35 is when the game will be on the Score today. So just beware that, you know, you have weird hours just like I do. You might wake up and you'd be hearing a final score of a Cubs game. So that's what it is. But the Reds beat the Cubs yesterday 4-3. Kyle Hendricks goes four innings, allowed four runs, five hits, struck out one, allowed one walk, 68 pitch performance. He was pretty much done in by, well, he was all done in by Joey Votto in terms of the dramatic production in this game. A two-run triple for old Joey Votto. Remember when he was just a whippersnapper, and now he's just a Votto. A two-run triple. He had a home run off of Kyle Hendricks. So there you have it. That's the majority of the Reds' runs on this day. Ian Happ did have a two-run double early. Nico Horner, an RBI single in the ninth that we just talked about to make it sweaty from Cincinnati's perspective. So that's the gist of the game. But there was this moment in the eighth inning of the game. The Reds are leading 4-2. And let's listen to, again, it's Joey Votto at the plate. Rowan Wick is pitching in this two-run game, Reds leading by two in the eighth. And here's what went down with Pat Hughes and Ron Coomer on the call on the Score.
Two men on with one away. Now Joey Votto is yelling at Rowan Wick.
Never really seen Votto do that. Joey upset at that first pitch, perhaps.
I don't think Wick actually knows that Votto was yelling at him, to be honest with you.
Wick would not be a guy that I would be yelling at, personally.
He's a big, strong guy. No, he's one of the bigger guys on the Cubs ball club, yeah.
And now Votto's still yelling at Wick and gesturing with his hand. Never seen Votto do this.
No, he's... Well, when you're hitting 160, things start irritating you a little more than normal.
Let's try to sort this out as best we can with accounts after the game. So putting this together here, again, it's in the eighth, Joey Votto having words with Rowan Wick and the Cubs dugout after walking in the eighth. Wick came high and tight with the first pitch. That did happen, and at that point there was a long look in that spot as well. And this is from Megan Montemurro of the Chicago Tribune after the game on Twitter. The issue between Wick and Votto stemmed from Wick seeing Votto bat flip on a walk and heard Votto yelling from first base, but didn't want to turn around and start anything. Wick said, I feel like he kind of blew it out of the water a little more than it needed to be. And apparently, you know, to be more clear, Wick was apparently, you know, mocking Votto for doing the bat flip, and so Votto took exception to that. So that's what it was all about. Never rose to any, you know, benches clearing or anything like that. Just a little good old-fashioned yelling. And so there was that. Then we move on, and we'll hear some of the players involved here, some of the parties involved. But there's a second part to this. Once you got through that inning and, you know, whatever, the Joey Votto's angry and, you know, whatever, Rowan Wick maybe should have kept his mouth shut. I don't know. But anyway, you get to the Cubs' ninth inning, Cubs' last call. It's a close game, and this happens.
Look out. Wisdom gets hit by the pitch right in the left shoulder, and that looked rather suspicious, to be honest with you.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. I don't know why they would have, why Joey thought the Cubs were throwing up and into him, but he reacted as if we were throwing at him, which that's not the case.
And Alfonso Rivas, the batter. Now, David Ross wants to come out.
Yeah.
And David's been thrown out of the game by Dan Merzel, the home plate umpire. David, jaw-to-jaw with the crew chief, Chris Conroy, now right near home plate. David gesturing with both hands. He is livid. This is about as angry as I've ever seen David Ross in his time as Cubs manager. He is livid. And the conversation escalates. David is even more angry as he follows Conroy out into fair territory.
Yeah, so Ross, irate, he gets ejected after the Patrick Wisdom hit by pitch. I understand why he was coming out there. And, of course, Hunter Strickland was throwing at him. I don't care that it was a 4-2 close game. Hunter Strickland threw at Patrick Wisdom. Please, let's hear from David Ross first, as he was the most recent voice you heard. And he was hot, as Pat Hughes said, as angry as has ever seen him. Let's hear what David Ross had to say after the incident and the game.
I think typically with, you know, what happened the inning before with, you know, Joey, you know, walking towards Wick and, you know, them not doing a whole lot, and then them hitting Wisdom and two umpires wanting to discuss whether they thought it was intentional or not, nobody doing that. I just was, but didn't understand why, and so I wanted to know, like, why are you guys not talking about that? That's been pretty commonplace, I think, when there's a lot of jawing going on, that the umpires get together and see if there's anything intentional, and they usually err on the side of warnings. You know, this is a team that things get a little tighter late, and we get a chance to, you know, whether they issue warnings or even talk about it or they don't. You know, it just the courtesy of, like, the respect of players to see if it's on purpose of my players, which I don't know whether it was or not, but them not getting together, two guys wanting to get together and another guy not wanting them to get together was the frustrating part for me.
Okay. All right. So I guess that rises to the occasion of, you know, getting out there and sticking up for your players. I don't know if it was worth blowing your top over just, you know, the spectacle of everything, but I'm not going to sit here and make that the focus of anything that we're talking about here. I mean, this was a case of, you know, a pitcher and a batter being hot-headed, both almost simultaneously, you know. So that they were able to, you know, handle that amongst themselves. And then, of course, Hunter Strickland takes it too far. Guy gets hit unpurposely. And David Ross has to come out. And I don't know, maybe that is one of those cases where the you know, whoever the manager is needs to get ejected in that spot just for the sake of the team. Because you got a little war going on. You got a little gamesmanship happening inning to inning. And obviously the Cubs and Reds, as it was indicated, have had a history in that regard. Let's listen to what AO Joey Votto had to say about the hit-by-pitch and everything that he might be commenting on.
You know, we were just – he had something to say, and I answered and that's how ball is sometimes, you know, you're competitive, and he clearly was competing and locked in on getting on performing well. And I'm pulling at this on the opposite end of the same rope. And, if someone says something to me, sometimes I don't answer, but I wasn't in the mood to keep my mouth shut. You know, sorry, it's part of the game. It can be one of the more enjoyable parts of the game. You know, competing, some talk. You know, I really enjoy that part of the game. You know, sometimes it can be overextended, can be taken too far. But generally speaking, I enjoy that part as long as the other party is fine with taking it. You know, you give it to me, no problem, I'll give it back, you know?
Blake Strickland had your back.
No, that was, you don't put the tying run at the plate with one out. That was absolutely unintentional. You know, we are trying to win a baseball game and our closer's coming in and he just misfires the ball. There's no, we don't get paid for retribution. We get paid to complete games, to perform well. And the idea that he did that on purpose in the ninth inning with two runs. What? And, you know, people have every right to think what they think, but, you know, it couldn't have been less intentional. And they may not accept that. Hey, it's fine. No problem. We'll keep playing.
Don't you what me, Joey Votto. What? I loved everything Joey Votto said, actually, up until he said that Hunter Strickland didn't throw at Patrick Wisdom, and then he goes, what? Are you kidding me?
Right.
Why would anybody do that?
Like, make everyone feel stupid. It's like, dude, we all saw it happen. Like, you can't make shift or, like, whatever, retcon this situation. You threw at him because you were mad at him.
I guess that's probably the best that one could do in that scenario in terms of trying to, you know, if you're the lawyer for that side of the ledger, that's probably going to be your go-to. Why, may I ask, to the jury, why in the world would my client with a two-run lead allow the tying run to first base? I ask you, what sense does that make? Of course, it sounds smart and a little bit condescending, but it's like, no. I get the defense. I would use the same defense, but guess what? That guy threw threw at Patrick Wisdom.
Come on, maybe
Hunter Strickland is dumb. Maybe he shouldn't have done that. I don't know. Maybe that wasn't. Maybe nobody wanted him to do that on that team. Who knows?
Sure.
But he did it. He did it.
Maybe he has some residual feelings against the Cubs after 2016, where they, I think he was the pitcher the Cubs got those hits against in that last game against the Giants to advance to the Dodgers.
Was it really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Zobrist bunt and the Baez RBI and God. All that.
That was against Hunter Strickland.
Yeah.
Damn, you're good. I was there. I was doing pre and post, and I could not pull that. Man, but I guess it should be. I guess it should be. Like every significant moment throughout that Cubs, if you're a Cubs fan or broadcaster as I was, you should probably know all the very significant offensive.
I was there.
Yeah, pitching moments. Grobber would have known the Hunter Strickland thing. And then he would have been talking about Rod Strickland.
Yeah, I was going to say, Rod, the transition's there, man. He wouldn't have been able to resist it.
More like Rod Strickland. I'll tell you about Rod Strickland. There's a guy, he was underrated, underappreciated. People think Kenny Patterson was better. No, he was not. Yeah, that's exactly the wormhole. It would twist.
I miss some of it. I miss some of those.
Oh, yeah. I still do it all the time. I always do. Like, whenever I can't, whenever I'm around people that know Grobber, I do Grobber stuff just to make people laugh and think about the Grobber. It's always nice, isn't it?
It's nice. Yeah. So we have a new one of the new producers here, Johnny Moore. He's training with us here tonight and tomorrow as well. And I've been trying to tell him just like about Les, but it doesn't do him justice. So I don't know how I hadn't done this sooner, but I started to play him some clips of Les, just some of the greatest hits, you know.
I forget, you know, that's so weird. We're now in a generation where it's gonna happen. People are not gonna know, you know, Les stuff, like, or like, I should narrow it down. People who work at the Score are not going to, you know, have known a lot of the idiosyncrasies of the Grobber and all that he was, because he's no longer with us. So that's weird to think about. And that, if, you know, eventually people will be working here or listening to the race, who's Les Grobstein? But you know what? That's what we're here for. Sometimes I think that's my purpose, to continue carrying the light of the Grobber throughout my life.
The light of the Grobber.
The light of the Grobber. That is what I am tasked with. That is, it's none of this other glory, Sean. It's not the Hall of Fame induction that I was part of at Illinois State. It's not that. It's not doing pregame for the Cubs and the World Series and the postgame and all that stuff and getting a ring out of the deal and doing the Bears now, working the sidelines. It's not that. It is Grobber. It is Grobber that is my special purpose in broadcasting. It always has been Les.
So it much is. For that.
It will continue to be. I will gather people around the radio and tell stories of him as if he is, you know, Chewbacca or something, you know? And I will tell the life and the word of the Grobber the way it was and will continue to be. So, yes.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, I never realized this, because and here I am, and that's why here I am at 12:44 on a Thursday. I am in my place and I am talking about Les Grobstein. I mean,
Recipio. C-3PO, I should say.
3PO. 3PO. So okay, that, and hearing Grobber's voice, that was a good transition for me right there. Do we have any, you know what, let's take a break, and when we come back we will see if there's any other key pertinent audio that we need to hear from. I know we've heard from Votto, we've heard from David Ross on that whole thing. Is there anybody else that we have that we're going to hear from on that coming up here, Sean?
Not that I know of yet, but I know Rowan Wick talks. I'm going to see if I can find some audio for that.
Okay, we'll eventually have Rowan Wick. I was just kind of making sure. We'll try to get that, but we'll continue to talk. And I invite you in, guys. I haven't talked to you forever, ever, it feels like. So please, would love to hear from you. 312-644-6767. By all means, give us a call here on Score Overnight. But in the meantime, we are talking Cubs. We are talking White Sox. We will definitely talk about the Bears as well. I was just at the OTA the other day, so I talked to a bunch of players. I talked to a bunch of coaches, and I'd like to share with you guys what I learned and what I'm thinking about the Bears here in late May. I'm Mark Rohde at Score Overnight, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score.
You're listening to the show Les Grobstein perfected, and we hope not to ruin it. Score Overnights.
You know.
Jake lights it up. Into left field, zero down. It's a three-run shot.
Burger, Jake, sick. White Sox beat the Red Sox 3-1. Jake Burger with a three-run, no doubt about it, home run in the fifth inning. Burger, who is only here while Luis Robert is down with COVID-19. So, hey, man, that's the way it works. You're up, you're down, wherever you are. When you get called up, man, you better contribute. And that is a way to earn yourself a longer stay, Mr. Burger, with a massive home run. The difference maker. White Sox beat the Red Sox. Like I said, 3-1 NBC Sports Chicago is where you heard the highlight. 312-644-6767. I was told that I'm about to hear a really good story from Eric in Chicago. Eric, you got a radar gun story? Is that what I am to believe?
Hey, growing strong. It's good to have you guys back, man. Yeah.
Yeah, thanks, man.
Last year, my fiance and I are at Comiskey at a game, and we've been together for years. So the days of me trying to impress her, you know, are long over. She knows what she's stuck with. So the speed gun challenge, you know, at Comiskey, that's up on the 300 level. It's all by the concession stand. So we go down, we're grabbing a couple beers. And normally, you know, that thing will be 10, 12 deep with guys throwing. And at this particular time, we're down, there was like three guys. I'm like, oh, we grab beers. I get in line. I'm 47 years old now, in denial that I'm completely out of shape and they have no athletic skills anymore. So she looks at me. She's like, really, you're going to do this? There's three guys ahead of me. They're in their early 20s, obviously, you know, in good shape, but probably all ball players still or former ball players. So I'm standing there, and she's just looking at me, rolling her eyes like, you're really going to do this? I'm like, yeah, I'm going to do it. I'm going to show these kids what's up. Yeah, the first guy in line hits 83 miles an hour. I immediately looked at her and said, let's go. We're out of here. A smile on her face. She's like, good. She's like, because you would have maybe hit 47 and we'd be going to the emergency room tomorrow morning. She's like, it literally takes you 10 minutes to get out of bed to go to the bathroom. Well, yeah, it was. Yeah, the minute that kid hit 83, I was like, yep, I'm out of here.
Abort. Get out.
Yes, I'm out. I'm going to go sit down and drink my beer and act like this never happened.
Oh, that's hilarious, man. I appreciate you calling back with that story. That's
anyway, man, thanks thanks for keeping on the tradition of Les, man. God bless Les, and you guys doing a great job.
God bless you, Eric. Thank you so much for the call. Yeah, we were talking about that earlier, about, you know, the Rich Hill 67-mile-per-hour slider to Jake Burger, and then it just got me thinking about how, like, that for mere mortals, 67 probably looked good when you go to the carnival or the fair or to a White Sox game and you see how hard you can throw. And any of us that played sports on any level, we always think we keep it, right? I mean, I played baseball in high school, okay? I did, for real, real. And so, of course, I've got that cred with me my whole life. I mean, that never leaves me, man. I was good in sports. Like, I was good in every sport. I was never, like, a star by any means, but I was always pretty good. So when you're like that, when you're pretty good at sports, you think it stays with you your whole life and that you could be the guy, the 47-year-old, as he said, that's going to go up there and let me show you what I got here, hon.
You
got
to be, I don't know, maybe valedictorian from high school or something like that. Who knows?
You throw that ball as hard as you can with maximum effort, and you're like, this is the one, and it the radar, and it's 62 or something like that. And you're like, ah! And it just like, you're like, oh, it's just those moments where it's like, no, that really, like you take a running start and it's okay, 63 that time, you know, I mean, you are
right. Get a crow hop in there.
Oh yeah. I've done it, you know, where you're like, you know, every, like your adrenaline is popping. You're like, you feel like people are watching you. And for what? And I don't think anybody ever really knows, Sean.
Yeah, man. I mean, I've definitely had my moments where I felt like Craig Kimbrough on there on the mound, where I'm like, all right, you know, I'm feeling the energy. I'm in that closer role here, and we're gonna throw some strikes here, and it's like 57. You're like, all right, well, I'll just go
yeah.
home.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You know, that brings up an interesting topic of, and I kind of just was merging into it, but. The idea of, we always talk about professional athletes, the athletes that we watch, Cubs, Sox, Bulls, Bears, Blackhawks. We always talk about the proverbial, oh, he's lost a step, or got to be careful, one of these years he's going to lose a step, you know, and it usually starts to happen to athletes depending on the sport, you know, around 32, 33, 34, something like that, like where it starts, where maybe there's, you'll lose a step, you don't lose everything, and certainly many athletes have made many millions playing beyond the age of 32, but there's a step lost somewhere along the line, I don't know where it was. But an athlete loses a step. What about, though, when we, you, me, fathers out there, single men, whatever it is that you do. I don't know why I'm attaching identity to it right now. I have no idea. I'm just using words, I suppose. But can you track back to when you lost a step or realized that you lost a step or just admitted to yourself that you lost a step? I'd be very curious if there was a specific moment at 312-644-6767 where you thought that you lost a step. I'd like to explore some of that, but first I'll go to the phones here, and I see that Danny would like to join the program. Hello, Danny. You're on the Score.
Hey, boys. Great show as always.
Thanks, man.
Hey, I'm out here by Arlington Park, and when you say about your theme tonight about losing a step, ex-equipment manager of the Bears was my coach in Arlington Heights baseball, and he still says to this day, I was one of the quickest guys from home to first base on a baseball hit in the baseball league. And
sick.
I used to call him Les. I'm restoring an old Schwinn bike now, listening to you guys. And I asked Les, years ago, I said, Les, what was your first bike? Was it a Schwinn? And he kind of answered. And then I asked him if you ever met the great caller of Arlington Park. Who was the announcer of the horse race?
Phil George Jeff.
Yeah. And he says, Danny, we have a baseball – or no, we have a race on the infield from like 100 yards in the files somewhere. And Les mentioned years ago he would bring it up and share it with us one day.
Oh wow!
A tape of that race from with I guess they're in sandbags or something. But you know, I woke up to the news of Les. I had COVID that weekend, and I woke up to my phone and I saw. Born and deceased, you know, a year,
yeah,
and I was like,
sure.
"What is this a dream?"
Right.
And I know I called in weeks before, and you know I couldn't talk to him, or they said Les is under the weather. But keep the legacy alive, guys, and be safe. And thanks for the show.
Yeah, man, Danny, I appreciate the call. Thank you very much, and I always love a good grabber thought or a grabber memory. They will forever be welcome. On this version of Score Overnight for sure. And the version you are listening to is the Mark Grody version. And we do need to take a break, but if you want to get in on my question, that is, what is an example of, or when did you know as a, you know, amateur athlete or just, you know, whatever it is that you do, when did you know in sports that you had lost a step? Was there a moment, an occurrence, a play, a hit, a tag, something that said, oh, my God, I can't do that anymore? That sucks. I'll try to give you mine when we return, but I definitely want to hear yours. 312-644-6767 on Mark Rohde. This is Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.